Hey there, this is your internet pal, Scott McNulty, the host of Random Trek, the podcast you're currently listening to. Before the podcast starts, I'd just like to ask you to fill out a quick 5-minute survey so that advertisers will advertise on Random Trek, and then I, in turn, can take that money and buy Star Trek memorabilia. Go to podsurvey.com, that's podsurvey.com/trek. Fill out a survey, it'll take 5 minutes, and I'll love you forever. That URL, again, is podsurvey.com/trek. Make it so. And now, on to the podcast. Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest today or tonight, whenever this is going on, I don't know, for this podcast, let's say, is Kara Scott. Kara, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for asking. I really appreciate it. I know that a couple of people kind of, you know, pressured you into asking me to come on, but
no pressure. No. This is not the only reason that you are on the podcast, but I am very cognizant of the fact that I have had a lot of people like me, i.e. white dudes, on the podcast. And while it's really easy to get white dudes on a Star Trek podcast somehow, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I want to hear more voices. So I put out a call for some folks who are A, interested in Star Trek, B, interesting people, and C, not white dudes. And a bunch of suggestions arrived, and several people suggested you. And
nice.
So, hooray! And this is also the benefit of I don't know you, so this is expanding my guest pool, because I only know so many people. So thank you. That's my long-winded way of saying thank you for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. This is fun.
Already, we're having a lot of fun already.
Seriously.
So, Kara, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, if any of your listeners are also poker fans, that's probably the only way that they would really know me. I work in poker. I'm a poker player as well, but mostly I'm a broadcaster. I'm a sideline reporter and an anchor for the World Series of Poker on ESPN. I'm actually heading to Las Vegas in a couple of weeks to film that for the season. So yeah, I do mostly poker. I got to be honest that I used to do sports as well. I was diversified, and now I'm really not.
Now you're just focusing on the poker.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I play a lot of games anyways, and I kind of have always loved that side of things. And I moved from a fairly male-dominated sports arena into fairly male-dominated games arena in poker. But it's always seemed to suit me, and I like it. There used to be a lot of TV shows for poker, and hopefully they're kind of coming back now. There was a legislation issue in the state, which made it kind of difficult. So yeah, but it's been an interesting few years, and now it's kind of having a resurgence. So here's hoping, because I used to do some of those shows, and I really do miss them.
Oh, well, they were fun. I watched, I don't know, there was one celebrity poker one or something. I probably watched a couple times. You know, I know nothing about poker other than people play it, and I would lose. But I am fascinated. So let's talk about. We're not here to talk about poker, but
no.
we're gonna. I'm
There's
gonna,
no poker in the episode.
There is was, no poker in this
I
episode.
I kind of wondered if there would be. I was a little bit hopeful, but you're right. It's random. So
it
there wasn't
random.
Any.
There,
yeah.
But I do kind of. I am obsessed with games in Star Trek, and there are no games in this episode. There's a lot of music. We're going to be talking about Lessons, The Next Generation, Season 6, Episode 19. Very musical episode. Nobody plays any games except, I suppose, the most deadly game of all, love.
Love.
Yes. But seeing as your profession is games, do you have a particular favorite Star Trek game that they play in the series?
I do, actually. Gosh, I wish I could remember what it was called. I've been thinking about this. For some reason, I think the episode aired when I was in high school, and it really stayed with me. It's a Next Generation, obviously. They had this strange game that Wesley had, I believe, and the whole ship starts to play it, and it's kind of a mental game where these little balls are getting sucked into this tube, and it kind of takes over their brain power. I'm not remembering this very, very well, but I love that game because I remember watching the episode and thinking I would totally fall for that.
And this was the one where they put the thing on their head and it shoots like lasers in their eyes and they could see like, yeah, they have to have a tube or something that they have a disc swallow.
That's it, yeah. And yes. It, to me, it kind of seemed like a really surreal sort of tower defense kind of thing. It, like, very pattern-oriented, and I don't know, I think I would have fallen for that. And quite happily, I'd just put me in a corner, and I'd probably play that for days. I'd be fine. I'd be totally fine.
Well, this is, if I have ever, well, I won't be because, you know, obviously, but if I were in the Star Trek universe, I feel like I would be much like... Reginald Barclay, I'd be addicted to the holodeck because
yeah.
You can do whatever you want. Why does anyone ever leave the holodeck is my question.
I know. You can go on holiday all the time.
Exactly.
And that's probably, I would just find a hammock somewhere and I'd just lie in a hammock. It'd be great.
You could lay in that hammock and you could play that game in the holodeck. It'd be perfect.
It would.
I don't know. It's a cashless society. You don't have to work. So why isn't everyone on Earth just, maybe everyone on Earth who's outside of Starfleet is in fact just in a holodeck somewhere.
They might be, or maybe we've reached that point in human evolution where we're just working to, you know, to feel good about ourselves and to contribute.
That's a better way of thinking, I think.
maybe.
So you said obviously your favorite game is from the Next Generation, so that leads me to my next question, which I already know the answer to, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is your favorite Star Trek series?
I would say it's a pretty close run between the Next Generation and the original series, but the Next Generation kind of edges it out for me because I watched it as the episodes were brand new. I would watch them with my family. Sometimes we even watched them like while we were eating dinner. We were kind of that sort of family. It was something we did together, and I always really loved it. I mean, I grew up in northern Alberta in Canada with maybe one channel, maybe one and a half channels on television when the weather was good. So we only watched what we could get, and we could get Star Trek, and so we got the original series and I loved it. And then when we finally got the Next Generation, for me it was just, it was incredible. It was so eye-opening, and I tell my friends this and it sounds really silly, but in a way, like, Star Trek was part of what raised me. It was a very, you know, pivotal point as you're growing up as a teenager and you're kind of figuring out the world, and it really helped me do that. Is that weird? That's kind of weird.
I don't think that's weird. I mean, well, okay. I host a Star Trek podcast, so I may not be the best source for what's weird or not when Star Trek is related. But
good. It's a safe place here.
Exactly. This is a judgment-free zone.
Good.
All Star Trek fans are welcome. So you like The Next Generation the best, which I think makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking this question now, this new question, on a scale of 1 to 10... One being, and we already know the answer, you're more than a one. One being you are aware of Star Trek, and 10 being you have dressed up and gone to a Star Trek convention. Where would you rank yourself as a Star Trek fan?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, having grown up in Alberta, there weren't a lot of conventions where I was. So I never went to a convention, but I do have two outfits. I have my own tricorder. I have a communicator badge that I bought not that long ago. I've got a hoodie that is a replica of the Next Generation. Yeah. I'd say I'm probably a 10. In fact, and this is kind of an embarrassing story. And it happened a long time ago, so I feel like I can say this. But I dated a pilot maybe 10 years ago, and his name happened to be Kirk. And at some point while we were dating, I realized he was getting his captaincy, and he was actually going to be Captain Kirk, and he was. And so to celebrate, I threw this enormous Star Trek party, and I had pictures of Captain Kirk and, you know, William Shatner everywhere, and I made everybody dress up. I even went out and bought all these, like, Vulcaneers for the people who couldn't be bothered to dress up because I wasn't having that. And bless his heart, Kirk was not a Star Trek fan.
Oh, no.
So it was just for me. And I realized after we'd broken up, yeah, that party was basically just for me. It was like the party that I was born to throw, and it just kind of happened to him, that poor guy.
Oh, well, I'm sure he enjoyed it, maybe.
It was a great party. So. It sounds like
it. You were dating Captain Kirk, for goodness sake. That deserves a party.
That's true.
Well, that's great. I think I, you know, thinking about it, I've thought to myself, well, I've never dressed up as a Star Trek character, but I do have a Star Trek hoodie. That's the gold Command shirt from original series that I walk around in. So I have, I guess, technically dressed up as a Star Trek character. So, plus I host a Star Trek podcast. So that adds
you're
to
a
my...
10.
I'm a 10. It's true. Only on that scale.
I like that you got yourself the gold command one. I got myself a red one. I don't even know. Like, psychologically, what does that say about me?
You have to have a better self-image. Come on.
Right? Expendable.
Well, I was talking... I don't know what podcast I was on. Maybe Counterclockwise on the Incomparable Network. And we talked about what color... Star Trek color would you be? Would you be red, blue, or, gold? So command, ops, or security. I think that's, or engineering, I guess, is red. So ops is blue, right? And I, of course, I said, I think, I'd like to think I would be in the command structure, but I'm pretty sure I'd be an operations person, like helping make sure the ship would run, because that's just the way it is, I think.
Yeah. I'd probably be a counselor. Just wear whatever I want then.
That's right. You can wear... Yeah. No one tells Deanna Troi what to wear.
No.
Except for that one time
in
that
one
episode.
With the cleavage. Yeah, but that was embarrassing.
But let's get to this episode, Lessons, which is... I feel like I say that this fairly frequently, so it probably isn't true anymore. But I feel like this is kind of a weird episode.
Yeah. It was a slow episode, and there was a lot of really awkward kissing and meaningful sighs and glances. It was interesting.
Yeah, so this episode is probably the best known for, Captain Picard gets a little girlfriend. Not a little girlfriend, she's a normal-sized girlfriend.
She is fully normal-sized, yes.
But I did notice, so I assume you've watched this episode, listeners out there, so obviously no spoilers. At one point, they have a first kiss, which is perhaps the most awkward kiss I have ever seen on film ever.
It was weird. Yeah. It was really, because she's all stiff-armed, and I was trying to look at it from, like, even a filming point of view, like maybe in order to fit into the frame or something, they had to do it like that. No, it was just so awkward.
And I was watching this with my wife, and she turned to me, and I said to her, "That's a super awkward kiss." And she was like, "I was thinking exactly the same thing." It's very strange.
Yeah. I actually watched it with my husband, who has never, ever seen Star Trek. And I just want to say that's something you need to ask before you get married, because I did not ask that. But he's
Italian.
He's
no Captain Kirk.
No, he is not a Captain Kirk. But he's amazing. So I will say this, because he is going to listen to it, because he's awesome. But he's Italian, so they didn't really get it in Italy. And he wasn't speaking English until he was in his 20s. So, he didn't really see it. And it was kind of funny watching this for the first time as his first real insight into the Next Generation. Yeah, he was like, "Is that how people kiss?"
In the future.
In the future, that's how people kiss. Yes. That sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. They kiss again, and it's almost equally as awkward.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. And it's not like they're about the same height. So even, physically, it shouldn't be too, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. They have a very mature, kind of honest relationship. So maybe it's not about the passion.
That's right. It's kind of like it's the firm handshake of kissing.
Yeah, it really was. It was very, it was very captain.
That's true.
He was just being a captain. I mean, he couldn't quite take off of his captain's uniform, although maybe he did at some point.
Well, this episode also continues to support my theory that I think Jean-Luc Picard joined the Federation, or Starfleet, I should say, so he could wear that uniform, because he clearly cannot dress himself.
Oh, man.
He wears some weird clothes.
Yeah. I love how they make it very clear that this is, official Jean-Luc Picard. He's on duty, so he's in his uniform. And then off-duty, Picard is like this mess. It's incredible. Like the tightest, tightest trousers you've ever seen. And then these incredible silky origami type tops that just, I don't know, they're not that flattering.
No.
But I appreciate that he's trying to wear them. I do. I appreciate that.
And, Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, a handsome man, I would say. But his out-of-uniform little civilian clothes are not helping him anyway.
No. It's like when you're a teacher, when you're a student. You shouldn't see your teachers, at the same concert as you, or out at the pub having a drink, or on a date. Oh, my God. Watching him do this was like watching my favorite teacher on a date. It was awkward.
That is true. This whole thing is pretty awkward. And that's because Captain Picard's whole persona, right, is he is the captain. He is in command. He's calm, cool, and collected. He is kind of above reproach. He doesn't really hang out with his crew. The only person he hangs out with on a regular basis is Beverly Crusher, because he probably still feels bad about being responsible for killing her husband. Just these little things. And that's another thing. As I said, I was watching this with my wife, and it became clear that Captain Picard was falling for, what's her name? Nella Darren, who's a lieutenant commander in charge of astrometrics or
Stellar cartography.
Stellar cartography. There you go. And we'll talk about her in a second, because we're spending a lot of time on Picard. And she's an interesting character, too. But as they were getting into this relationship, my wife was like, how could he leave Beverly? And I was like, well, he's not actually going out with Beverly Crusher, so I think it's okay. And she was like, I don't know. And that actually turns up in this episode, because when Beverly finds out, it's not that...
I don't
know if she's jealous, but she... There's something between those two.
There is definitely something there. Yeah, anytime that she kind of comes in contact with the idea, it's not entirely comfortable for her, I think, thinking about Picard with someone else. And I don't know if it was just me, but I would say that Nella Darren looks an awful lot like a cross between Beverly Crusher and Deanna Troi.
She,
I don't know.
She
maybe
does.
Just
I,
me.
That yeah. I hadn't thought of that as I was watching it, but it's true.
So as a woman, you'd be like, really? So like, I've been here the whole time, and then she just comes in and she looks like me, and like, really?
And you're off to the races, Picard.
Yeah.
And she's an interesting character. The first time we see her, well, we see her in the dark, but the first time we actually see her in light, my wife commented, that's some hair. And she does have like this huge kind of complicated, I don't know if it's a bouffant, I don't even know how to describe it. It doesn't look bad, but it's like, how long does that take you to get ready?
Man, that's exactly what I thought when I saw it. Like, the amount of time that adds to your day, it cannot be worth it.
Well, maybe in the future you could just replicate. It's a wig or something and she's putting it on. I don't know.
That would be pretty cool, actually. I could deal with that.
That would be...
But yeah, her hair, it's kind of indicative of her character, I think. Mm-hmm. It's very set. It doesn't look like it moves very much. And it's quite forthright and forceful. Like, you can see it when it comes in a room.
She has a presence, and her hair is part of it. But she's a very forceful character. So when we see her, they get introduced because Captain Picard and her, right? Captain Picard is up late at like 3 a.m. or something, wearing his little like members only command jacket and wandering around the Enterprise. One can assume startling like the night crew, and everyone's like, "Oh, I just go to sleep, Picard." And so he's like, oh, Data, what's happening? And Data was like, oh, everything's fine. So he goes off into his little ready room, and he wants to look up. Oh, he wants to talk to an archaeologist. So he asks Data, hey, you know, put me in touch with this archaeologist. Although who knows what time it is on that planet, too, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Kind of rude, Picard, to just call a random archaeologist at 3 a.m., but whatever. And so he can't do that because Stellar Cartography has requested that there be no communications. So there's no communications. And he's like, okay. Then he goes and he wants to look up something on the computer because he's bored. But the library computers are offline because of Stellar Cartography. And then he's like, all right, he almost reads a book, and then he thinks, well, I'll have some tea instead. And he goes to the replicator. Guess what? Offline because of Stellar Cartography. Which made me wonder, Stellar Cartography has a lot of power. If they can request that, like, they have no communications, the entire computer has been shut down, basically, and no one can eat anything.
Yeah, and I know it's 3 a.m., but they're in space, right? So wouldn't half the ship be awake and half the ship be asleep? Like, there are a lot of people out there not able to have a cup of tea.
Yeah,
it was weird to me that everyone was like, wow, it's really late. We didn't think anyone would be around. Well, you're a working starship, right? Like, not everyone's asleep.
Yeah, you need to have shifts so that people can run. The ship needs to run all the time.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird. But obviously, it's just a setup so that he will go down to Stellar Cartography and say, what the hell are you people doing in here? And this is where we have this great first interaction with him, where he opens the door to Stellar Cartography, and it's very dark in there for no apparent reason. Nella... Darren says, in or out, but just close the damn door. So he comes in, and then, he's ruined 4 hours of work, so she's very upset, and she hasn't looked at him yet. She turns around, she sees it's Captain Picard. She feels maybe for like a second, she's slightly abashed. Mm-hmm. But then she goes right into, you know, he was like, I just wanted some Earl Grey tea. And she's like, you shouldn't be drinking Earl Grey tea at this hour. Here, drink this herbal tea that I have.
Yeah. The first time I watched it or rewatched it, I was like, wow, she's so pushy and she's kind of like bossy and whatever. And then I watched it actually a couple more times and I realized that she really is just forthright, because later on Beverly Crusher calls her, you know, says, I like her. She's very forthright. And I thought, actually, that's true. I mean, she's in charge of this enormous department and she is kind of like single-minded about what she wants to get done. She's probably pretty good as a boss, I would think.
Yeah, and she certainly has kowtowed Commander Riker, it seems.
Oh, I love that.
There is a scene where she wants to, I guess someone wants to transfer to stellar cartography. And the chain of command, it seems, is that the department head would submit a request to the first officer, Riker, and then he would approve it. And if he approves it, then you talk to the crew member and they move, right? Because he's in charge of all the resources on the ship.
He's in charge.
But he doesn't seem to be all that in charge, because she's like, well, I've already talked to the crew member. He wants to come and you haven't approved it. And Riker's like, ah, how could you do that? I'm in charge of it. And there's a little tense moment.
Yeah. Every time he sees her, though, there's a tense moment, because she also comes in before that to say, like, we need the sensor array. And it's really important. We're in a really like critical spot. And he just keeps trying to brush her off. And she won't let him brush her off. And he gets this look on his face that's like like death. He is not happy with her. Like the whole time, that whole episode, he has like a bee in his bonnet or something much worse to say than that.
He has a bee in his beard.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, he does not seem pleased with her.
No.
But it's an interesting dynamic, right? Because she's just kind of, you know, sticking up for her own department and trying to get her stuff done. And I feel like that's what a Starfleet officer would do, right? If you're going to be on the flagship and ship. I feel like Riker deals with that a lot. Probably there are a lot of type A people, I would think, on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
But the wrinkle here, of course, is that she's going out with the captain. So he's kind of like, well, I don't know if I can say no to you because you're the captain's girlfriend, but you're also an officer, so you're just trying to do your job. But he's like,
I don't know. I think he was way out of line. I mean, it's so ridiculous, because you're right. Probably people come and do this with him all the time. And she was being kind of a pain in his butt earlier as well, before she was dating the captain.
That's true.
She did the exact same thing after, and then he like just kind of had a little, oh, I can't deal with this. I have to go talk to the captain. That's I don't know.
He has a little man-to-man talk with the captain. I think he just doesn't like her, really, is what it boils down to. But then so he's like, oh, I feel uncomfortable. He goes to Captain Picard and he's like, I feel uncomfortable with some of her requests because, you know, and then Picard's like, oh, because she's going out with me. And well, he doesn't say that because we're in a relationship, I think is what he says. I can't imagine Captain Picard saying anyone is going out with him. It doesn't sound very Picard-y. And Riker's like, yeah. And so, but Picard has a great answer. He's like, she's just trying. It sounds like she's an officer trying to do her job. And you are an officer trying to do your job. And I trust your judgment. You have always been in charge of this. So you do what you think is right. She has no special place in kind of in the command. And also, though, she shouldn't be punished because she's going out with me, right? Mm. So it has to be kind of, she's just an officer. She's doing her job. You do your job. Everybody do their job.
He's so good at that, because Riker leaves that little pep talk with like a smile on his face and a little kick in his step. He's like, yeah, the captain, trust me. He's really good at his job.
That's why he's the captain.
It's true. It is true.
And everybody looks up to him. And so the other thing about it, so there's this episode is weird just because Captain Picard is falling in love. And it's just so non-Picardy because he is a very kind of... They even have a Beverly and Nella have a conversation about this because she is, I think this is, she strains her hand or something.
Sure,
playing the
piano. She did.
Oh, so yeah, that's.
I don't think so.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, do you think that she went in there specifically to kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To dig around. At first, when I watched it the first time, I thought, wow, she's just kind of baiting Beverly. But then I realized, no, she's not. She's digging for information, which is exactly what Captain Picard did with Beverly as well when they were having their little dinner. And he's like, oh, have you met the new crew members? Mm-hmm. She's doing the same thing. You know, oh, have you known each other very long? And she's not very good at it because no. I think Nella Dern is like, she's too straightforward to be that kind of underhanded, or not underhanded in a bad way, but the subterfuge just doesn't work with her character. Kind of
she doesn't have like the nice social nicety to wrap it around and just kind of be nonchalant about it.
It's awkward. Again, it's just really another awkward moment.
There are a lot of awkward moments in this episode. And so, there's the interesting interplay with Beverly and Nella, and then bringing another woman into it. It's Deanna Troi and Captain Picard. Captain Picard basically is like, hey, Troi, come into my ready room. I want to talk to you about something. And she's like, all right. And they go in, and he's like, oh, I want to talk about the Commander Nella, or what they all call it, Lieutenant Commander Darren, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, you mean your relationship?
She knows what's up. Everyone she can knows. Tell. Even at the concert in 10 Forward, you can see that scene where he's watching Nella Darren play the piano, mm-hmm. and you've got Troi behind him, just out of focus, and every once in a while, her eyes are like darting over at Picard. she's watching him watching her, and it's so obvious. Like, it must be hard being an empath, though. It would make you so nosy. You'd be able to tell immediately that, oh, this guy totally has the hots for that woman.
It is a big burden, I would imagine. Luckily, she can't read thoughts, because I think that would be like 10 times worse.
Yeah.
She could just kind of sense emotions, right? And so that is an interesting scene, only because Captain Picard says, Starfleet has no regulations about a captain dating one of his reporting officers.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, really?
Yeah. There are no regulations.
That seems kind of odd.
I would think there'd be a lot of different protocols.
Yeah. I mean, I am not a military expert, but even in, you know, all the workplaces I have been in, there have been, you have to like sign forms if you are going to date someone who is your supervisor. Not that it's forbidden. In some places, I'm sure it is forbidden, but there are many protections because it can create these awkward situations where, you know, Riker doesn't know what's going on. And then, and the whole episode leads up to, so it spends a lot of time with awkward moments and building this relationship between the two, right? And we were halfway through the episode, and my wife turned to me and she said, something awful is going to happen to this character, isn't it? And you think, well, probably.
Yeah.
And yes, it does. But she survives. Spoiler alert. She doesn't die. But there's this moment where, you know, Captain Picard has to order her to stay in a very dangerous situation along with some other crew members. And it was different. Just having those feelings makes it difficult.
But he doesn't hesitate at all. It's incredible. Like, you can see the conflict on his face, but as soon as he hears the communication between Riker and Nella Darren, he then almost immediately says, you need to hold the line. Mm-hmm. That was strong.
Yeah, and then, so that was right after when they're having this meeting. So they have to go to this planet because there's a firestorm or something. It doesn't really matter. But there are colonists who are going to die if they don't, you know, set up these ridiculous sci-fi devices to shield the colony so that they can transport people out. And apparently, Lieutenant Commander Darren has had experience setting these things up. So Riker's like, who's in charge, as we learned earlier, of people and resources on the ship. He says, all right, well, Lieutenant Commander Darren, you're going to be in charge of setting up these things, and I'll go down to the planet. Everyone goes down, and everyone's happy. Meeting over, Captain Picard says, oh, Lieutenant Commander Darren, could you just stay behind? And he says, there must be hundreds of people on the ship who can do this, so maybe you should just stay here and be safe. And this is I think there's that great tension of, you know, his career is very important to him. Vice versa, her career is very important to her. So she's like, Riker chose me because he thinks I'm the best person for the job. So I have to do it. Captain Picard's like, well, all right. But that's another thing, right? Like, that's why I feel like there should be, one imagines, regulations about this sort of thing, because it just puts everybody in awkward positions.
Yeah.
And makes,
it really does.
These are tough decisions already without adding in other kinds of amorous feelings, right? I imagine. I've never had to order anyone to their death, so.
No, their me possible neither. Death. It would be, I think, you know, imagine it would be quite difficult.
Unless you don't like them. And then you're like, eh, whatever.
Which maybe Riker didn't like her that much. Let's be honest.
That's He's true.
Like, you're going down to the surface, lady. Okay.
Finally, wash my hands of you. But of course,
slap
I hope
a
we succeed.
Red shirt on her and say goodbye.
That's right. Another interesting thing. I feel like we're jumping all around this episode.
I know. But, it's non-linear.
It's non-linear. We have a lot of thoughts about this episode because it is just such an odd episode, I think. But I do think that they pull in a lot of interesting aspects of Picard's character. And I love the, and this ties in with the music thing, the references to The Inner Light, which is a fantastic episode. Where Picard, if you're not familiar with The Inner Light, people listening, that's where Picard is. Well, they explain it in this episode. So if you watch this episode, you know he gets swept into this alien probe and basically lives a lifetime as this alien. And then gets back into, you know, 25 minutes have actually spanned, but he's lived a whole lifetime. And he's had a wife and children and grandchildren and learned how to play the Risican flute. And I never really thought about that after that episode. I mean, that episode is really good, but it never occurred to me to think about how that would impact your life, having that kind of experience. Because, you know, Captain Picard has been kind of a solitary person. Up until that point, his career was his you know, interest, significant other. And then he has this whole life where he falls in love, he has children, and it's all real to him. He lived it, but it never actually happened, right? So that must make him have very complicated feelings about, you know, do I want someone in my life? Because I feel like I've already had this, but I haven't really. It's a difficult position to be
and
in,
missing that sort of family kind of connection as well. Yeah, you're right, actually. It was interesting to kind of show that it had a deeper impact than just the one episode kind of been and gone. And it was also a really nice shorthand way to show how important she actually became to him. I mean, that sort of the flute was such a private thing. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, when she mentioned, Darren mentions the flute to Crusher. And Beverly Crusher is surprised that Picard would share such an intimate and private thing with this woman. Who is she? but it was a nice shorthand for saying, like, yeah, this is quite serious.
Yeah, this is a real awkward relationship.
A beautiful, awkward relationship.
That's right.
Full of really hot, sexy music talk.
Yes.
I quite liked the way they always did their... I mean, all of their sexy talk was, like, about music and baritones and this and that and
yes, and I feel
wow.
like you haven't played with another person.
Oh,
and he's like, oh, I only play with the computer. And I was like, oh, I see what they're doing here.
Oh, the holodeck again. Okay.
Exactly. I thought that was Geordi. yeah, they have a lot of, I mean, I'm not an overly musical person. I have no musical talent whatsoever, but I thought the scenes of them playing together were very nice and showed it was an easy way. And I think an effective way of showing them meshing together and, you know, bonding very quickly because, you know, they only have probably like 25 minutes to establish this relationship so that at the end will mean anything to us. And I thought they did that very well.
Yeah. And Patrick Stewart is, I mean, I love him. I do. I was watching the episode, like I said, with my husband the whole time. I was like, I love him. Oh, he's so great. But he's really good at that. He has this sort of very buttoned up exterior that he usually has as the captain, and then every once in a while he'll do that kind of big smile that kind of happy sigh that I don't know was just a bit gooey inside. It's really lovely.
Oh, it was very nice to see him kind of falling for this, not kind of actually falling for this woman, and
properly, you know, in love. He said love
and not being so captainy, and that leads to that great scene of when he's coming out. They had just met, I guess, or hung out or whatever, and he comes out of his ready room and he sees, this is after she convinces him to play together and they try and play a complicated thing, and then they go back to playing Frère Jacques and he has a great time. And she says, it doesn't matter if you're good at it as long as you're enjoying it. And he's like, oh, whatever. And then he goes out and he sees Riker and he's like, hey, Riker, why don't you and I go fence? And Riker's like, I'm not really good at fencing. And there's this great little where he, Picard, in a very un-Picard-like way, does like this little fencing with his finger and pokes Riker in the chest and is like, that's okay, as long as you have fun. And Riker has this big, he's like, okay, Captain. And he has this big goofy smile on his face because he knows Captain Picard is clearly much happier than he was before, even if he doesn't like Lieutenant Commander Darren.
Yeah, he's still happy that the captain is happy. Like exactly. Deanna Troi said, you know, only the people who something care about your happiness or would notice. That's, mm-hmm. you know, they're happy. He's happy.
Everybody's happy, but he wants to. And that this episode also, I think, does a great job of dealing in the short amount of time. They pack a lot of... It's an odd episode because not a lot happens, like, plot-wise. There's not a lot of things exploding. There are no aliens that they have to find or anything like that. It's a very small story. But that being said, they have to pack in a lot to make this meaningful character connection, right? So that the end pays off, like I said. And so they have to pack in this kind of Captain Picard's reticence about being in a relationship with a crew member, or anyone really, but a crew member in particularly, and how he has to be, he's Captain Picard, but he's also Jean-Luc Picard, but he doesn't want his crew members to think of him as Jean-Luc Picard. So there's this great scene where they're on the turbo lift and they had just, is this where they were playing in the Jeffries tube or something? I don't know. But they were coming back from somewhere and they were having this talk and talking to each other and turned towards each other and they were alone in the turbo lift. And then a crew member comes in and then Jean-Luc turns into Captain Picard. He pivots and he looks away from Lieutenant Darren and he calls her by her rank instead of her name. And he's like, oh, very good. And he walks out of the turbo lift and she's like, oh, WTF, man.
Seriously, what just happened? I don't know. But the way they dealt with it later, you know, he goes and he talks to the counselor. He gets his head straight. And then he goes and talks to Nella Darren and they're so honest about it. Like, he comes in, she's decided she's just going to be very formal with him as well. She calls him Captain or Sir or something when he calls her Nella. Right. And he explains very quickly that he is sorry. He even says the words, I'm sorry. So that's a really good apology. He explains that he was uncomfortable. He makes it clear that it won't happen again and that he cares about her. And she immediately lets it go. There's no, like, no lingering kind of annoyance or trying to figure things out. She's like, well, I just wondered if you were that kind of captain who, you know, one kiss and off you go to the next one.
Captain
but
Kirk.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that captain. That's the wrong series. But I don't know. I like how, like, genuine and honest they seem about it. She's not everyone's cup of tea, but she's his. And, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and I think that he chose to do it, and the writers chose to have him do it, that scene in particular, in, like, her workplace with other crew members around. Mm-hmm. So it felt like he actually meant it, as opposed to him, like, calling her into his quarters or so no one could hear him say this. Because I think they made a point, a directorial point, of having, like, random crew members walking past doing stellar cartography things. and so they could clearly hear this conversation because they weren't whispering to one another. And so this is basically Captain Picard kind of coming out to the crew and saying, yeah, so what? I have a girlfriend.
I'm human.
Leave me alone. But still respect me because I'm the captain.
Yeah, I thought it was really beautifully done. And it did make it quite sad when, you know, obviously she doesn't die on the surface. Thank goodness for that. My husband was like, wait a minute. Is she going to die? Is she going to, like, she's dying. Is she dying? Is she dead? And I didn't want to tell him and ruin it. And then he was all upset. You see that lovely shot of Captain Picard sitting alone on his sofa in his darkened quarters and just looking so sad and lost and alone before he realizes that she's alive. But now, clearly, they can't stay together. Mm-hmm. And that's the real hard thing. They have to make this choice to, you know, they both love their jobs. They love what they do, but they need to be, you know, correct in the way that they're acting. And it can't be together. And so we finished watching it. And my husband turned to me and said, are they all that sad? I was like, no, sometimes there's aliens. It's really good. And he liked it, though. Bless him. He really did like it. So I'm going to show him something with aliens next time.
Well, that's good. Something that isn't as sad. Because it is, really, at the end of it, she doesn't die, but they can't be together. So, and it's clear they really like each other.
Yeah.
They don't
He loves her.
Yes, it is clear, but they just can't. Their circumstances can't allow them to be with one another.
No.
And I thought it was interesting that he's like, well, you could stay here and just give up your job and I guess just be my lady friend, I guess. Is that what you would do? And she is like, no, that's not happening. You could give up your job and be my man friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't know if that's going to happen. And he says, well, we could do the long distance thing. People do it. And she's like,
Yeah, she lets him think it, but you can see it all over her face. Her, like, her heart is breaking, and he's trying to pretend it's not going to be as bad as all that. And, you know, she's not very good, like I said, at not being straightforward, but she kind of lets him have that. They have that such a sad hug at the end, and then that's it.
That's it. Oh. Never seen again, Nella Darren. We assume she's found love with someone else. Yeah. We know Captain Picard has not, so.
No. So sad. Well, then, like I said, some people are not supposed to have deeply personal lives. They're just, they're figureheads. he's the captain, and it's important that he, you know, remain focused on the ship.
That's right. And I think your description of seeing a teacher on a date kind of totally sums up the kind of, it just feels wrong. It's a nice episode, and I think their relationship is really done well, but it just, as a lifelong Star Trek and Next Generation viewer, you just think, this is not the right thing for Captain Picard. Yeah. He's not supposed to be happy in his personal life. He's not supposed to have a personal life. His personal life consists of wearing weird blouses and going on archaeological digs. That's all he does.
And playing his flute.
Alone.
Yeah. Alone. No duets anymore. No more.
That's right. Can't do it. And eventually, maybe, marrying Beverly Crusher and then divorcing her in an alternate reality.
Yeah, but then still staying very good friends and probably retiring in the same house. That's what I think happens, because the two of them, I love them together.
Yes, they are great together.
They are great.
I don't know if they are destined for romance together, but they are. They have a really good friendship.
Yeah, that's enough. Exactly. I mean, they're probably getting on a bit, so that's enough.
Yeah, we don't need to follow that.
It's like, like parents. Again, it's just wrong. I don't even think about it.
I will say, after watching this episode, when I sent you the email about what episode we were going to watch, I said to you, I only remember one thing about this episode, and that is Nella Darren has a roll-up keyboard that she uses.
Yeah.
That blew my mind when I saw this when it first came out many years ago. So what, 10, 20, 20 years ago, I guess? Maybe 25 years ago?
It was 93.
I can't do that math. It depresses me.
It's a long time ago.
Long time ago. But now when I watch it, I still think, oh, that's kind of cool. But it doesn't blow my mind. It made me think, because she says, oh, I picked it up on some random planet. And I thought, couldn't she just have replicated it on the Enterprise? I mean,
you can't get the good sound, I think, through the replicator. Music's about soul. Didn't you learn that? It's about soul.
That's right. And then I thought, she's basically playing like an iPad on the thing. And I figure it is interesting to see, and this is one of the things that interests me about science fiction in general, about how they're trying to predict the future, right? But it's always based on current technology, clearly, because you are in the time period you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in the original series, for example, they had a computer. It had a voice interface, which is all, you know, amazingly groundbreaking. Doors that open themselves, also groundbreaking. They couldn't make that leap of having a networked computer. So people are carrying around disks and all kinds of things. And in Next Generation, they have iPads, basically. But they couldn't make the leap of an iPad can do many things. So they have, like, everybody has like 18 iPads because they can only show you one thing. And you have this roll-up keyboard because I would think now if they were doing a Star Trek series now, it would be like any Surface could turn into a keyboard because you could just bring up that interface.
Yeah.
That's just my super nerdy.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way.
I don't know. That's what I thought of. But when I was a kid, though, I was totally impressed with that roll-up keyboard.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was impressed by Riker, so things change. Things change.
Oh, no. You're not a Riker fan anymore?
No, not really. Although I do enjoy his, like, there's one scene where he's talking to Data at the helm, and he's standing beside Data, who's sitting down, and he has his leg up on the helm. And I enjoyed that.
Classic
that was
Riker.
Quite funny.
There are countless times he has set them off course by pressing the wrong thing with his foot on the helm. Oh, right.
There aren't any rules, you know, about dating people or about putting your feet up on the really important furniture.
Well, as I have been watching episodes for Random Trek, I have come to the conclusion that Starfleet is not a very well-run military operation.
No.
They have poor security. They don't have any regulations. People do whatever they want. I don't understand it.
Oh, thank goodness they're all so moral.
That's true. That is helpful. And the one, biggest thing, I thought, oh, they let Wesley Crusher fly the ship around. That makes no sense. But I had Mike Cole on, who
I heard
is,
that.
Yeah, so he's like, no, that's totally real. And I was like, all right, now I'm scared for
terrified,
my life.
Terrified, right? How terrifying is that, that happens in real life? That there could be a Wesley Crusher out there actually piloting some military vessel.
That keeps me up at night.
Ugh.
Well, Kara, I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well.
I did, thanks. I really did.
Next on Random Trek, the original series, The Enemy Within.